Scottish writer Ian Banks is a prolific novelist of conventional novels and science fiction. Since his first novel, The Wasp Factory, was published in 1984, he has penned around a dozen conventional novels. Under the pen name Ian M. Banks, he has published around half that number of science fiction books. Many of these feature a utopian civilization of the future called The Culture. Away from writing, Mr. Banks takes a public political stand on many issues. For example, he tore up his passport and mailed it to the Prime Minister in protest against the war in Iraq. Radio Prague's Chris Johnstone met up with Ian Banks, who is in the city for the Prague Writers' Festival, and asked him to explain what the book Transition is about.
It was largely about certain people finding the ability to transition or to sort of skip between different realities, between different versions of our universe, as it were, taking the sort of multiverse idea, you know, quite literally, seriously, and presupposing that it was possible for an individual consciousness to flit from one to another. This kind of starts fairly modestly, as it were, just a few individuals, and then becomes, as more people become able to do it, it starts to become bureaucratized, and there's a whole sort of system and a gigantic organization, which, as gigantic organizations tend to do, becomes convinced of its own rectitude and basically starts to interfere where it can, and becomes, as again big organizations tend, becomes about power, sheer power. So in that sense, it has become corrupt, and the main sort of force of the story, away from the sort of human side of it, as it were, is the attempts of some people within this organisation called the Concern to make it more accountable and less overbearing and autocratic.
This sounds like it's back to your science fiction mode. Is that right, or would you describe this book as science fiction, or...?
I suppose I'd call it as a crossover novel. As the idea, the template for it, if I can use that phrase, that word, was an earlier novel I'd written called The Bridge, which is still possibly the novel I'm most proud of. And it kind of combined mainstream and science fiction sort of fairly equal proportions. It was still published as a mainstream novel rather than a science fiction one. And I kind of wanted to go back and do something like that again, because after The Bridge, the science fiction and the mainstream kind of went in opposite directions. They separated for a start, and the science fiction became sort of more science fiction-y, more conventionally so, space opera, in fact, with, you know, funny aliens and laser cannons and big spaceships and so on, whereas the mainstream became more sort of rooted in reality. So I thought it'd be interesting to go back to try and do something similar to The Bridge with Transition, and produce a book that was kind of a bit of both and a melding, you know, of different genres. And also, in fact, in this one, with a bit of sort of spy story, spy novel, you know, thriller sort of element to it as well. So I think it tells you a lot that it was published as mainstream in Britain but as science fiction in the States. And in the end, that was more rather than being a sort of purely artistic judgment, I think that was more about the fact that my science fiction sells better in the States. So it was more of a marketing decision, really. But nevertheless, so I've claimed that it's sort of 51% mainstream, but, you know, I may be prejudiced.
I should probably ask you what you're working on now, which genre it is, or you're working more on that now at the moment?
Well, I've just finished the second draft of a new science fiction novel just coming out in October, and it's another in the Culture series, so it is proper full-on space operatic science fiction, you know, back to the spaceships and sarcastic machines and so on. That's pretty much finished. I mean, all I've got to do now is look at the copy-edited version and see what howlers have committed there that the copywriters have spotted. So that's kind of out the way. The main work of the year is kind of done, and so I'm now just about to start thinking about the next mainstream, which we'll be writing in the sort of first, hopefully, if everything works according to plan, in the first quarter of 2011.
It sounds like a bit of a revival for the science fiction, because at one stage I think you were afraid that it was drying up and maybe you wanted to concentrate more on the, I don't know, the normal novel, or maybe we shouldn't call it that, but...
Well, yeah, I think it's fortuitous. It's something that immediately happened, in a sense. What it really boiled down to is what I thought was a function of me simply growing older and getting, you know, approaching and entering my 50s and starting to lose a kind of imaginative spark. And in fact, I think it turned out it was more to do with the fact that my marriage was failing, that my wife and I was heading towards splitting up. I think that made a huge difference, and I just felt a kind of sort of lassitude. I just felt that I'd kind of lost something of whatever it was that I had, and it did strike me that without being in any way sort of, you know, overtly critical of the mainstream novel, in a sense you can write a genuinely superb mainstream novel without any original ideas at all. All you need to do is talk convincingly about the emotions of your fellow human beings, of people in a certain situation. Whereas in science fiction, you kind of have to have some original ideas. And I thought maybe that was kind of, you know, slipping away from me. So that's what I was worried about. As it turned out, you know, that kind of turned around.
Maybe we could talk a bit about the way you write. Do you plot everything pretty much ahead?
In theory, yes. In practice, it's a bit more sort of left to the vagaries of chance, especially as far as I get towards the end of the novel. Quite often, I've got a very definite idea of how precisely I want to end the novel, but getting there towards the end sometimes it becomes a bit more extemporized, as it were. So, in theory, it's all very, you know, properly planned out. But in practice, it's a bit more flute-like, if I can describe it like that. Instead of a single sort of, you know, linear sort of rod-like shape to the plan of the novel, it gets more, looks a bit like a flute towards the end, where the possibilities branch out, and you can envisage different ideas, different ways of getting towards the final lap, as it were.
I read once that you were of the opinion that, or seem to be of the opinion that writers are born, not made. Could you?
I think generally, yes. And I think it's entirely possible that you can make someone who might be already predisposed to be a writer but might not go down that route if different things happen in their lives. And I think there's still a lot to be said. I'm not saying that to diss creative writing courses or anything like that. I think there's always room for improvement. And I think simply talking to other people who also want to do the same thing and getting away from the sheer sort of solitude of writing can be a very good thing. The thing is, it varies from individual to individual. I think generally, I think like any sort of real talent, I think it's something that is kind of there. You can sort of force it in a way. And there's this famous thing, if you spend 10,000 hours doing anything, you'll get really good at it. But in a sense, why bother? Is there not something else you'd rather do? You know, so I do worry that people, they sort of decide on writing as a sort of career choice rather than something you kind of have to do because you just enjoy doing it anyway. I suppose that's what I'm kind of worried about, that people try to make themselves writers just because they like the idea. I think that's probably usually the wrong thing.
And your first novel, The Wasp Factory, that was a big success. Had you tried to get something published before that, or was this the first attempt and success, hey presto?
No, I'd been trying to write novels from the age of 14, and I'd actually finally written one when I got to the age of 16.
Do you feel that you should be getting some sort of message across in these books?
Well, it's not compulsory, I think, and you have to be very careful if you're a writer about being preachy. And I think we're all familiar with the phenomenon of the Hollywood star who suddenly decides that, you know, they know how to solve the problems of the world or problems of the Middle East, whatever, and you have to be careful not to indulge in, you know, sort of posturing, whatever. Having said that, I think if you have opinions, I think, you know, we're all entitled to share them. You do have a bit more of a responsibility if you're any sort of public figure, even as a fairly sort of minor one like myself. I completely respect writers who've got, you know, nothing to say in terms, you know, of current affairs, who want to be sort of above politics. That's entirely their right.
Apparently, if I read correctly, you live down the road from Gordon Brown. Have you had anything to do with him since the elections? Have you seen him? I presume not. Or?
No, I mean, possibly we'll see him more often in the village. For the record, we live about, I don't know, 100 yards, maybe 150 yards, metres, whatever, away. My girlfriend tells me I have to stop saying it's just a mortar lob away from his house. I imagine the immediacy of that threat's probably gone. Not that I had anything against him whatsoever. Certainly not as a person. Rather too right-wing a Labour politician for my liking, yeah, but certainly not worth lobbing a mortar in his direction.
That was novelist Ian Banks, ending that edition of One on One and our program for today.